And our money man is Dave Penny, the managing director of Invest South West. They are independent financial advisors in the county. Hello, Dave.
Morning, Ben.
Great to have you with us today. This is a really big story yesterday about Wonga.
Yes.
Which I'll run through some of the specifics in a moment. But overall, though, your thoughts on payday loan companies?
Well, firstly, you have to sympathise with the people who are in a situation where they need to consider that last resort. But it is a last resort, Ben. As a financial advisor looking at the long-term health of my clients and your listeners, if you could possibly avoid a payday lender under any circumstances, you should do, because it's very difficult to see how, in truth, you can extract yourself from that situation once you're in it.
It's quick money, though. And if you're in a position where you know, what, I'm going to be paid next Thursday, I need £200 next Monday, you know, I can get that £200 very quickly and I can pay it back next Thursday when I get paid. That surely works, doesn't it, as a concept?
Yeah, the psychology of it works. I can see why people would go to that. But if you do the maths of it, unless something exceptional is going to happen to give you some money during the next 30-day period, like an inheritance or a house sale or a big bonus from work, if it's just your normal cycle of income and expenditure, it'll just be worse next month because you've had all the interest to pay. So you're going to start to spiral into an even worse situation.
We're going to discuss loans right through the show this morning. And just to set it out early, I've taken out a loan in the past with my bank. I know loads of people will as well. There'll be plenty of people listening who would never even dream of taking out a loan. I mean, it's not sort of selling your soul to the devil, is it? I mean, there are ways. I mean, a mortgage is a loan, isn't it, really? Let's be honest. I mean, there are ways of doing it that you can manage, and it can be sensible.
Yeah, the issue isn't really about borrowing and loans. It's about borrowing and loans which are responsible. And in my view, in almost every situation, a payday loan is not responsible.
Let's hear your views this morning. Have you or would you ever take out a loan? If you want any advice today from our money man, Dave Penny, give us a call, 0845 303 1566. It might be that you want to find out a way of managing your debt if you're in some kind of trouble. It might be that you've had an experience in the past of being in trouble and you want to give your advice. You might say, look, don't do it like this. Do it like this. Get in touch, 81333 to text, and start with Somerset. So let's just focus on what happened yesterday, so you know why we're talking about this. Wonga, this payday lender, writing off £220 million owed by customers who are in arrears by more than 30 days. So what they are saying is that these customers wouldn't have got those loans under new, stricter affordability checks that it's introducing. This is a move that's been agreed with the Financial Conduct Authority. They took over the regulation of the payday loan industry back in April. Here's Dominic Laurie, who is from the BBC's business unit. And Dominic says there are three main changes to the system of checks at Wonga.
Greater scrutiny of loan-to-income ratios. So what that means is when you go on Wonga's site, they will have to ask you much more about your income than they were before. The second major change, if you make a late payment, so if you go into arrears but manage then to pay your loan back, before, you could immediately reapply, whereas now there'll be an automatic block for 30 days. The third change, people who they decline for credit reasons won't be able to reapply immediately.
So these loans that they offer, these small unsecured loans, are often around £500, and it's until, well, the idea is it's until that customer's next payday. Approximately 330,000 customers are going to have the balance of their loan written off. 35,000 people who are in short-term arrears won't have to pay interest or charges. Whilst the changes are good news for those customers of Wonga who are in debt, some say the need to implement them shows how irresponsible the company has been about lending. Here's the Labour MP, Pat McFadden, who's a member of the House of Commons Treasury Select Committee. They've looked into the payday loan industry. He says Wonga should be called back before the committee to answer questions.
What we've seen today exposed is widespread lending practices. This isn't a few people, this is 330,000 people who are having to be recompensed because the right checks weren't shown and people have been led into a world of very, very high interest rates. And it raises real questions about the business model for Wonga and possibly for other companies too.
The chief executive at Citizens Advice, Gillian Guy, says the current way in which payday lenders operate just shouldn't continue.
There is a business model underneath all of that that I'm sure is legitimate and is viable, which is about lending to people who can afford to repay and coming to arrangements with those people about how they repay in a reasonable way. And I'm sure there is a business model there. The one that currently is operated, which doesn't undertake proper affordability checks, which rolls out loans without thinking about it and has aggressive collection practices, is not viable and shouldn't be.
The Financial Conduct Authority says it will work with Wonga, continuing to work to identify whether other remedial actions required. It says it hopes the rest of the industry will be put on notice that lending must be affordable. Wonga's chairman has been responding to all of this. He's Andy Haste, and he joined the company back in July. He said a review of lending practices had shown the need for change at Wonga was real and urgent, and new stricter lending criteria would mean accepting far fewer applications from new and existing customers. Graham in Ilminster has got in touch with the programme saying, Ben, payday loan companies should be subject to tighter regulations. This is an opportunity for the government to create legislation to ban companies from setting such high rates. And the same applies to gambling. There are too many people being drawn into this lucrative trade. Dave Penny is with us this morning, taking your calls. He's our money expert, our independent financial advisor. Graham in Ilminster there wants to see these high rates disappearing. Do you think we'll ever get to the point where the companies are told that by law, or is that a long way off?
I believe, rather than legislation, the FCA have the powers to limit the top rates. I mean, Wonga have been charging rates above £5,000, 5,000% per year. So there have been some ridiculous rates.
So 5,000 APR.
They have done, yes, indeed. Which is just, you know, it's eye-watering and terrifying, and it makes you really feel for the people who have got into that trap, and I'm pleased they're being released from that now. The FCA can impose those limits, and I believe they have advised the firms that they should be, you know, the top rate should be significantly lower than that. But I entirely agree with Graham. Something has to happen.
Have you, or would you ever take out a loan? Get in touch with the show today. Your thoughts and any questions you have for Dave, get in touch with us. 0845 303 1566 to call, or you can text.
Text back.
And Daryl's in Weston. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, Ben. Good, how are you?
Good morning. Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Tell us what happened to you then.
I haven't ever had a payday loan or anything. I mean, I suppose people are tempted, aren't they? No, I got a loan back about 7-8 years ago to buy out my ex-partner, really, basically. He was making substantial demands on what he wanted, this, that and the other. So in the end, I just got a loan to pay him back. The only difference was with that one, I didn't realise at the time that it was actually a second mortgage that was taken out on my house.
Right.
And when I sold it a year and a half ago, it came up that obviously I had to settle that when I sold my house, which obviously took a little bit of the equity from the house that I needed.
Oh, so it took a chunk out then?
It did,
so
yeah.
So was it with the same company that you had your mortgage with?
No, it was done through a financial advisor, which was a little bit of bad advice, really. But in all fairness, I suppose I didn't particularly read the really, really small print on it. But at the same time, I wasn't actually aware that it was a second charge on my mortgage. At the time, I suppose I was just desperate and needed help to find this money because I had pressure from my ex-partner because he wanted this, he wanted that. So that's what I did.
This is part of, Dave Penny's listening, Daryl, and this is part of the problem with loans, isn't it? Is that often when you need to take that money out, you're in a position where you need it sometimes quite quickly. You don't want to really mess around. That must have been the position you were in, wasn't it, Daryl? You didn't really want to sort of hang around much, and that can mean you can miss things, can't you, Dave?
Indeed. Generally, the lowest interest rate you're going to pay when you borrow money is on a mortgage. So you would ideally look to a mortgage if you need money for a decent length of time. But, of course, that costs money, it takes time, and it's for a loan that should go on for a period. And of course, that might not fit in with someone's circumstances. In which case, you know, as Daryl has explained. Daryl, I'm interested.
There'd be people listening who would have been in exactly the same boat when they're day. I mean, sometimes you just, you miss these things, and then you can think, oh, but sometimes you can get into that scenario. There must be ways that you can arrange it afterwards that makes it better to manage that debt, though.
Yes, and even if somebody is in great distress, which is quite frequent when these loans are taken out, it is still the responsibility of the advisor or the firm lending the money. It's their responsibility to check that it's affordable, that the individual understands what they're doing. So there's never any excuse for somebody walking away not knowing what they've done. That is the fault of the company that's arranged it.
So your thoughts this morning on this. Have you or would you ever take out a loan? 0845 303 1566. Mike says, Ben, I'm glad that Wonga's found itself in these difficulties. Like all moneylenders, I think they're preying on the financial difficulties of those in trouble, and charging that huge interest is disgraceful, says Mike. The government has got to introduce legislation to cure these practices. I've never borrowed, but I have loaned, and I say this to all your listeners. It is possible to loan money to your family members. You give it to them because they ask for a loan, and then if you pluck up the courage to ask for it back, it suddenly becomes a gift. I know Mike has told us about this before, and he's had problems with family handing out money, and then he doesn't get it back as well. I want to just, you know, these companies, people morally don't agree with them on the text and the calls so far, but it is legal, so... You know, can you really blame the companies if it's within the law and they're able to do this? I mean, it's like any industry, isn't it? Surely the responsibility is of us as a whole and as a country and a government to say that that's against the law. But it's not. It's legal.
There's a bit of both. For me, I think that all organisations should operate with a degree of with a moral compass. We should decide if it's right. Just because you can get away with it doesn't mean it's okay. No, it doesn't. And of course, one of the reasons that Wonga has introduced these changes yesterday is because it's not because they suddenly become a good organisation interested in the best interest of their clients. It's because the FCA has made them. Let's be under no illusion. They're not suddenly a lovely company. The FCA has forced them to do this, and they could, of course, the FCA have introduced regulations now which have resulted in half the payday loans firms since the announcement of the FCA rules have withdrawn from the marketplace. That tells you a lot, doesn't it?
But Wonga can make changes now, can't they, that can make them a more in our eyes responsible lender, surely. I mean, that, you know, they're not going to want to go out of business. They'll want to make these changes so that people can trust them again.
Well, they will do that, and they'll be forced to check affordability and to evidence that affordability. And if people want to borrow a second time, they'll be forced to postpone that at least 30 days. All kinds of situations or rules which will make them behave better, but still they are expensive loans which you should avoid at all costs if you possibly can.
It feels to me like this is a scenario for that company where it's a sort of a kitchen sink scenario, isn't it? It's like, throw everything in. If we're going to give some bad news, let's do everything together, take a huge hit at one time.
Yes.
And rather than doing lots of little bits, because if you do it all at once, at least then it's done. That seems to be what they're doing.
But believe me, these firms won't be reborn only to serve the best interest of their clients.
Well, let's hear your views this morning. 0845 303 1566. And Dave is here to take your calls as well this morning. If never had a loan, wouldn't ever have one. I don't even have a credit card. Credit's the worst thing to live your life on. If I can't afford anything, I'd just go without. I might not be rich, but I owe nothing to anybody. So have you or would you ever take out a loan? Give us a call this morning.
BBC Somerset.
Ben, over the years, myself and my family have taken out several loans. It was essential in the 50s and 60s for us. I don't need one these days, but they can be very useful. Well, Sue in Taunton is on the line. Hello, Sue.
Good morning, Ben.
And you, I think, take a slightly different stance to Bill because you've never had a loan.
Never. I was brought up that you didn't have anything until you could pay for it. And then when you actually got it, you appreciated it more. I think now everybody wants everything straight away, and it's throw away society, buy again, whereas we saved for things and then looked after them. I've got a fridge that's 40 years old. It's
you've got a 40-year-old fridge.
I've got a 40-year-old fridge, yes.
Good grief. And it's still going strong.
It's still going strong. It has moved out to the garage, but it's still going strong.
That's brilliant. Bill there was saying, though, in the 50s and 60s, that for him and his family, they needed to do it. But have you found, though, that over the years, you and your family, it just wasn't a thing, it wasn't consideration back in those days, in those sort of the early days of your life?
Well, I think, for one thing, you didn't have the publicity and the media the same way. So to actually be aware of loans wasn't as easy as it is now. I mean, it's on the television all the time, encouraging people. And back in our day, I mean, even the mortgage rates were nothing like they are now. Once you had your mortgage, you had to make sure that you could pay that every month. When we bought our house, we had a bed in our bedroom, but we didn't have any furniture. I went round to the carpet stores and got samples and laid them on the floor so that we had something to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually could afford a carpet, it was wonderful, because we'd sort of almost suffered for 18 months or whatever until we got the carpet.
Did you find yourself ever in a situation where you thought, God, we really need money quickly?
No, you were always
planning ahead. You were always anticipating.
Always saved as well. I'd been brought up from my very first wage packet, which, believe it or not, was £5 for a week's work.
Right.
And straight away, my mum had £2.50 for keep. And then I had £1.25 to spend and £1.25 to save. And I went on like that as my wage increased. You know, half went to mum, quarter for spending, quarter for saving. But we didn't spend in the evenings. Like, I mean, if you went out of an evening, you maybe went out from, I don't know, 8 o'clock until 11.
Yeah.
But now, I know what some people spend on an evening out. I just find it horrendous.
It just costs an awful lot. Next time I speak to you, I'm going to be asking about that fridge. Is that all right?
Yes, fine.
Sue's 40-year-old fridge. The oldest fridge in Somerset. Sue in Taunton. Now, Eunice is there as well. Hi, Eunice.
Oh, hi there. Good morning.
You're pretty similar, really, to Sue, because you have never had a loan, never had even a credit card.
No, I haven't personally. When I was married, back when my sons were small, my husband had a Barclay card, and anybody that's about 60-ish or so will remember Barclay cards. And that was a high rate of interest. And that was because I think it was back in the days of the three-day week, which is going back to the 80s, 70s. And it was all very difficult. But all that happens, you just end up never being able to afford to pay it back. And it was a nightmare. And in fact, I don't think he's ever really recovered from that. But I personally have never possessed a credit card. I haven't got one. I'm on my own now. No desire to have one. I don't wish to lend. I don't wish to borrow anything.
And when you see, you must have friends and family members that have borrowed money, or do you not discuss it? You're right, Eunice.
So I've got a cough.
That's all right.
I do apologise.
That's okay.
Yeah, I've got my sons. I mean, they've got, like, cars.
Yeah.
But I think they don't have loans. I think they've just either, you know, got the money there.
They haven't bought those cars on finance then?
No, because they're second-hand cars.
Okay. But, I mean, Eunice there, Dave, coming from a background there, along with Sue, two people from a very similar generation where the view is you sort of pay what you can afford, and therefore that's why neither of them have ever had a loan or a credit card and have never got into any debt. But it's not always that simple, but it does feel like a generational shift, doesn't it, really?
Yes, it was lovely to hear Eunice talking about being advised, I think, by her parents to put a quarter of her income into savings. That's a really common theme I hear from more mature people that they've been advised to. And it's a great practice. And I'll tell you, Ben, one of the biggest mind shifts that people can do if they're hovering around the debt line is if you put a little bit of money into savings, an emergency cash reserve in an ISA somewhere, which you intend never to touch, you mentally cross a line where you try and protect that, and actually you'll then not spend money on holidays and things which get you into debt because you're protective of that savings. And it's a kind of big line that you cross where you become a saver. And if you can do that, then you should never dip back into sort of short-term borrowing. Mortgages are fine. You need to have a mortgage if you're going to buy a house, most people. But it's the expensive short-term debt. If you can try and move away from that, you'll never regret it.
Do you notice this generational thing that we've just sort of really identified, that I kind of assumed was there? Do you notice that with your clients?
Yes, I'll tell you a story that still horrifies me. I had a young girl come in to see me about something else, but it transpired she'd just left university with some debt, obviously.
Yeah.
But she'd managed to somehow secure a gold card from some organisation with a credit limit of £15,000, and she was just off backpacking around the world on that card. She had not a bean to her name, in fact, only debt, but she'd found some borrowing, and she was happily going off. And really, she was saying, I have this money. It wasn't a debt to her, it was money to her. And
yeah.
That is a generational shift, as you rightly say.
Because you feel, don't you, that I think when you can't see it, when it's on a card or it's in your account now, it's so electronic, it doesn't feel like money. It just feels like numbers shifting around. It doesn't feel like it's an issue, does it?
They've given me this money, she said. It's like, no, they've given you a chance to have a massive debt, is what they've done.
And the interest on that would have been a whopper after a while, wouldn't it?
In the high teens, yes, in the high teens.
I'm going to talk about some of the alternatives in a moment. So we'll hear about credit union in a second, which I know the government are very keen on, and even the church is very much a part of these days.
Indeed.
So we can discuss that. We'll talk as well about some of the things you can do when you get into debt, some of the ways of managing money. So more of that on the way very shortly with Dave Penny, who's our financial advisor from Invest Southwest. He's the managing director. They're based in Taunton. Have you or would you own, Kim? Really interesting. Kim Robinson from the Mendip Community Credit Union there. So, David, one example of one alternative to going to a payday loan company. What else can people do? If you need money quickly or if you need money that you're happy to pay off over a period of time, what are your options?
Well, traditionally, Ben, it's unexciting, but the place people go to for short-term money is an overdraft. If your overdraft isn't already fully used up, or if you can have one, then an overdraft is therefore a short-term dipping into to deal with, you know, sort of acute short-term problems.
Some people live in their overdraft.
They do, yes. And if you're living in your overdraft, then often it's worth thinking about consolidating, and the banks are usually quite keen on encouraging that. Consolidate your overdraft or your credit card into a personal loan over a realistic period at an affordable monthly premium, and you might be paying only 5-7% for that, whereas an overdraft will be in the teens, if not 20s%. So as Kim said, talking is so important. Go to your bank, go to your credit union, talk about it. I see so many people who don't even open their post in the mornings because they're so nervous about what's coming through. Those are the ones who spiral and pay high interest rates. Seek advice from some of the debt counselling organisations. Open your eyes and open your ears, and there's every chance you'll find help.
I know we've talked about credit cards a couple of times this morning. I heard something on the radio yesterday when Wonga was being discussed, and one of the bits of advice that was given out, which I'd like your take on, was, look, if you need a short-term amount of money and you have a bad credit rating, you can go to certain organisations that you can get a bad credit card.
Yes.
So, the interest will be higher on it, but
yes,
at least you've got something that where if you want £200 quickly and you can pay it back in a month's time, you actually probably won't pay any interest on it if only just a little bit, because it's only a short amount of time.
Indeed, there are plenty of organisations who will offer credit cards. And again, whilst you'd try and advise against it, it's likely to be a lower rate of interest than the payday lenders. And, you know, as a financial advisor, I would say look in order of the cost of the loan. Look at the cheapest loan first and then work your way up. But the very end of that line is the payday lenders.
Pauline Weston has said that I had to take a loan out about a year ago from my bank, Ben. We had to take it out to pay for a new boiler. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those scenarios. It's a great example, Paul, of when sometimes your boiler breaks and it's coming into the winter. I mean, this is about a year ago. You're thinking, well, we can't go through the winter without a boiler. It wasn't a big loan and it's worked out okay, but we were a bit shocked when we heard about the repercussions if we ended up defaulting on our loan.
Yes.
That's why it's terrifying opening that letter.
Indeed it is, and you just have to be brave about it, and it's a really good example, isn't it? Winter's coming up, you need a boiler, you've got to find the money. And I think Kim Robinson in Mendip also made the point that we'll look at you, and if you simply can't afford to repay that loan, then we won't agree, and they have to go elsewhere. And then comes the issue, if the big institutions, if the reputable institutions won't lend to you, that is for a reason. And then you just have to look at plan D, and even if you need a boiler in the winter, then maybe you need to be thinking about getting a lodger or selling up. If it's going to put you into a spiral, then you shouldn't do it. In the case of Paul, clearly he could afford it, and that was good for him. But if no reputable lender will lend to you, that should be telling you something.
Question from Ron in North Petherton. I want to ask Dave his view about a situation with a young man I know who was turned down for a mortgage because he didn't have a credit card and therefore he had no means of showing he could manage debt. This is something we were discussing in the office today, because I think it was, wasn't it Harriet saying that she'd never, ever had a credit card, she'd never been in any real debt. And yet James and I were sort of saying, well, credit rating wise, that's great, but the perverse situation is, if you haven't had a credit card, mm-hmm. can you actually have a credit rating?
It is perverse, it's counterintuitive, and it's completely true. I have had clients who have been declined mortgages because they've never borrowed a penny, and therefore they haven't got a credit rating. There's no track record, there's no evidence of their ability or willingness to repay a debt when they have one. There's just the absence of evidence as far as the lenders are concerned. And some lenders, I think even most lenders, would say that they decline.
That's absolutely perverse, isn't it?
It is absolutely perverse, and advice we give to our clients is, if you're thinking about buying a house, then get yourself a credit card, use it, pay it off every month so it doesn't cost you anything in terms of interest.
But how long would Ron's, you know, the young man that Ron knows, how long would he have to be doing that to get that decent credit rating?
Well, the credit ratings are all a bit of a mystery, and there are various ones that have different ways of calculating things. A good rule of thumb, I would like to have 6 months of spending on your card, clearing it every month, spend clear, and then there'll be some kind of record. But yes, it's absolutely perverse.
This is an exact conversation my girlfriend and I are having yesterday, because she's never had a credit card either. She's my view is, don't get one. But she says, I need to, because I need to get a credit rating. Mm. Because otherwise, when it comes to us trying to get a mortgage, we're gonna struggle. So we were kind of thinking, well, do you pay your petrol on the credit card each month and then pay it off at the end of the month?
Do bear in mind, you get more protection if you buy items for more than £100 on a credit card. They are forced to protect you by law. So if you buy something for £200 and dispute that purchase for whatever reason, the credit card company has to refund you and do the fighting for you. So there are additional advantages. The flip side is, if you lose your credit card and someone spends all of your credit limit, that's bad news too.
Keep your questions coming in for Dave Penny, the independent financial advisor from Invest Southwest. We want to hear from you today. So, have you or would you ever take out a loan? This has been our topic through the morning today. Now, we've been discussing this because of the story about Wonga, the payday lender. They've written off £220 million owed by people who were in arrears by more than 30 days because of these new stricter checks which they're introducing. This was the news yesterday. Today, we've been discussing if you would or have ever taken out a loan, if you've been in debt, and any questions you have for Dave Penny, who's with us, our money expert. Get in touch with the show.
Call Ben.
And Dave, we've been talking about the generational changes over the years and how people who are maybe sort of in the 60s, 70s, 80s, although there will be people listening who do have debts and have taken out loans, generally it's considered to be more the scenario where you would, you know, you'd save up and you'd buy what you can rather than taking out loans or going into overdraft or having a credit card or anything. I just wonder, the recent pension changes, and there are so many different things you can do with your pension now, have you noticed any difference in the practices of people because of that? Has it had an impact in any way?
Without a doubt, yes. In mid-March, George Osborne announced that you have much more freedom and flexibility about what you do with your pension after age 55, and we've seen a significant increase in the number of people at or above age 55 coming to us and saying, I have debt issues, my mortgage won't be repaid by retirement, or I've got even more urgent short-term debt issues, I want the money out of my pension, which is very frequently possible, whereas it previously wasn't. There are lots of health warnings with that. You need to be very careful about how you do it. But yes, it is possible that you can take often up to a quarter of your pension tax-free, and even all of the rest of it if you want to, although it would be taxed. So if done with care and sensitivity and an eye on the long term, that can be a solution for people over 55 to look to release funds from their pensions.
Okay. Let's finish the hour by speaking to Doreen, who's called us from Bridgewater. So hello, Doreen.
Hello.
Lovely to speak to you. Now, we've been talking about people today who have never had a loan, never had a credit card. You are very much in that category, aren't you, Doreen?
Yes.
Tell us what happened to you with your home.
I never had a mortgage. My husband wouldn't take... He always used to say, oh, no man, anything. I think that was his mother.
That came from his mum, didn't it? Oh, no man, anything.
Yeah.
So what happened when it came to buying a house then?
A mortgage was out.
Yeah, that was out the window.
So I had to work hard and save up to buy one.
You saved to buy the house?
Yes.
How many years did you have to save?
Quite a few.
Yeah, I bet you did. What were you doing? So did you stay at home before then? Where were you living?
No, I did part-time work and I went full-time.
Right.
And worked all the hours I could.
Goodness.
7 days a week, 12-hour shift.
The two of you saved up enough to buy
it.
So yes. How old were you when you bought the house?
59.
59?
Just a year before.
Where were the two of you living before? What were you doing?
In a council house.
So you were renting?
Yes.
And then you bought at 59, and you're still there?
Yes.
Well, how many years later, sorry to
31.
Ask?
31.
So you're now 90?
Yes.
Dave, thank you very much for coming in. It's been great to see you. Thank you for your advice this morning. Dave Penny, independent financial advisor from Invest Southwest. Thank you to Dorian in Bridgewater.